Now, let's assume that the client said that their number one product would be water, number two would be cookware, number three would be air. But then again, I'm going to continue on to our other products so you get to hear a full presentation of most of our products. Now, and they've chosen that they could afford to set aside $20 to $25 a week, which is between $80 and $100 a month. Now, I would definitely recommend to you that you should learn a little bit about water and really what's happening today. When I start off my presentation, I think one of the things that I get really into is being very serious, because it is a serious matter. And the matter is a problem worldwide. I mean, here in Canada, we take for granted our water, but we really, really shouldn't. You know, we've been polluting the world now for over 100 years in the industrial age, and everything that we do, everything that we build, everything that we create in this world is built because of the help or the source of water that we're around. Water is used in just about everything or everything that is created. Now, you know, I personally myself, I live in Toronto. If you think of Toronto, which has about 5 million people or more in the greater Toronto area. Now, all of these people, you know, there's a couple of million of them that drive cars. You know, 70% of cars leak something, whether it's a little bit of gas, a little bit of tranny fluid, oil. And when it rains, where does that water go? It goes into the sewer. And talking about sewers, I mean, how many people in Toronto and other cities across Canada and the U.S. that use their sewers for an oil change? How many people use the sewer at the curb there to pour the rest of their paint that they didn't use down the drain? You know, there's a lot of things that go down that drain, and if you think of it from the cigarette butts, the trash, and everything else that's on the city streets, when it rains heavily, it all goes back into the lake. And the one thing that they don't do is filter it. Now, again, whether you live in Toronto or Kitchener or London or Montreal or Vancouver or Calgary, any of the cities across Canada, Edmonton, in all cities, there's a tremendous amount of industry. Now, I went out in the lake in a boat in the summertime, and I looked from Toronto to Hamilton, and you can see that Hamilton's pretty close. And when you start thinking of the mass production of steel and how many billions of gallons of water that they use per year to clean the steel, to cool it down in every process of steel manufacturing. And if you do a little research on steel manufacturing there, you'll find that there is an oil, there's some oils and fluids that they use that are a big contributor to breast cancer in women because they mimic bad estrogen, such as pesticides, insecticides do as well. Like in each city, there's going to be a river or a lake or a deep well that's going to feed that city. Now, I know in Toronto, there's the Humber River and there's the Don River. Now, like here in Kitchener, where I'm doing the taping today, they have the river that, I can't remember what the river's name is, but this river, like all rivers, travel for thousands of miles from up north, and they come down stream, and they finally get, the river gets to whatever city it's going to. And how many farms did it have to pass along the way? You know, the farmers today are forced to use more and more pesticides, insecticides, and herbicides. And they've proven without a shadow of a doubt that in certain farming communities where pesticides are used more than others, that in many, many cases, the rise in cancers and in breast cancer are way up. There's a product that was used in the States and is still used in Canada called tetrazine in spraying corn. While they banned it in the U.S. because they believed all the cities that were using a tremendous amount of it, there was a much higher level of cancer. So when you start thinking about pesticides and insecticides, these rivers carry it. When it rains, it washes into the creek, and the creek goes into the river, and the river comes down to the lake. And we have an enormous amount of pesticides and insecticides that we drink. You know, a common thing that people assume is that they filter our water at the plant. Now, yes, they might take pieces of chunks of dirt that are somewhat large. Have you ever been to a beach and you look into the water? You'll notice that there's little things floating around. Okay, well, they do take care of those things. And the way they take care of them is with a product called alum. Alum is a derivative of aluminum. And what that does is it allows the pieces of dirt to be collected. So, of course, you don't have it in your tap water when it comes to you. And that's about it. After that, all they do is disinfect the water. And by disinfectant, I mean chlorine. And you know what? Chlorine is taken for granted. But what is chlorine? Chlorine is Javex. Chlorine is bleach. Chlorine, if you go down to the plant where they disinfect our water, you're going to see on those big tanks, you're going to see the, you know what they put on a tank when it represents poison? Skull and bones, that sign. That's what you're going to see on the tank because chlorine is poisonous. But our government says it's acceptable. Now, I read an article in the Toronto Sun a few years back, and the big headline said on the article, it said, cancer on tap. Because chlorine, when it reacts with organic matter in the water, creates something called THMs, trihalomethanes. And they now have proven that trihalomethanes is a carcinogen. It's cancer-causing. And they believe that 1 in 10 people will get some form of cancer from THMs through chlorinated water if they drink and cook with the water for 30 to 35 years. Think of it. Not only are you drinking then chlorine, but today, in most municipalities, what they do is they add ammonia to the water. Today, it's called chloramine because ammonia helps the chlorine stay more consistent because, you know, it's got to travel from the plant to maybe the house down the street, which is a couple of blocks away, or it has to travel 20 miles away, and they want the chlorine level, the strength of the chlorine, to be at a certain level by the time it gets to your home. So they add ammonia to it. You know, they can legally add up to 100 chemicals to your water. And you know what really happens is this, is you become the human filter. If you think that 70% of your body is water, I mean, your brain is 75% water, your lungs are 80%, your heart's 75%, your liver is 85%. Your blood is 63%. Your kidneys, 63%. You are water. So if what you are is water, you need to give yourself what you are. I mean, let me ask you this. If you didn't give a plant enough water, what happens? Well, the answer is obvious. The plant starts to dehydrate and it starts to shrivel. If you don't give it enough water, it eventually dies. What about the human being that doesn't drink enough water? Well, they're saying that not only are they going to be tired and fatigued, because water gives you life, they're going to have more chances of arthritis. They're going to have more chances of organ problems because your organs feed through water as a lubricant to keep it alive, to keep it full. And it has to exchange water constantly. So you need to consume a lot of water. Now, why don't most people drink a lot of water? Well, most people don't drink a lot of water because, well, first of all, they don't like it. It doesn't taste so well. Well, they don't really know, because they're not in this business. They don't know that the reason it doesn't taste well is because of the heavy amounts of chemicals in the water. There, it's not appealing. You know what water should be? It should be so sweet tasting that you just want another glass. It tastes so sweet in the sense that there is no taste, but it tastes, when you leave minerals in water, there is a fresh taste to it that is very hard to explain, but it quenches your thirst and you just can't have enough of it. I remember back in 1989 is when Carrico brought out the water filtration system. You know, I remember in 1986, actually, I asked Mr. Capodanno, the owner of Carrico, I said, you know, in Canada, a lot of people are selling water filters. Now, at that time, I wasn't aware that in the U.S., the water business was much bigger than it was already in Canada. And I remember Mr. Capodanno saying to me that, you know, Jerry, we've been researching water for already 4 years, and when we can come out with a product that goes way beyond any government standards, that goes way beyond any expectation in the water business, that's when we will bring out a water filter. And when they kicked off their water filtration system was another 4 years later, at the end of 1989, the beginning of 1990, they came out with a terrific system I'm about to tell you about. Now, when you do get into a house, before I tell you about our filter, I do want you to know that with the people, you know, the first thing you're going to hear from people is, I have a Brita filter. And honestly, I want to say to all people that have a Brita filter is that, you know what? I'm glad that you're thinking about taking steps towards improving your water. And that is a little step. And that step, if I had a choice between drinking water from a tap or water from a Brita filter, of course, I'm going to take the Brita. But know what you're drinking. The Brita filter, if you were to open up that cartridge, break it open, you're going to find a little disc about the size of a loonie, round, and about a half inch or quarter inch to a half inch thick of carbon. Now, when the water drips through, the thing I don't like about the Brita filter as well is by the time the water drips through, you've had another birthday. I mean, it takes so darn long. And the fact that what makes water filter is that the thickness of that carbon is not enough to take out any heavy contaminants. It's just enough to reduce chlorine a little bit. In turn, makes the taste of the water more appealing and removes a bit of the odor. And that in itself helps a little bit. But it's not designed. It's not like Brita didn't do their job. They're selling what they're selling. It's not designed for heavy contaminants. It's not designed to protect against bacteria. It's not designed to get against heavy metals for a long period of time. Anything substantial. It's not designed to take out any of the real problems that are in water. Let me explain. Oh, one other thing before do that. One of the things I want to mention is that another product that a lot of people have is a reverse osmosis system. Now, the difference between our filter and an RO unit is this. A reverse osmosis system, probably the big difference is their water is demineralized, and ours is not. With an RO, it wastes a lot of water. It takes anywhere from 6 to 10 gallons of water to make 1 gallon of filtered water, because the water has to be pushed across a membrane, and this membrane will not allow minerals to go through it. You use a lot of water. It removes healthy minerals. And it can be very, very expensive. Some of you might have seen the test some of the companies do. My opinion of this test is, it's called a precipitator test, and my opinion of this test is very, very negative because it really does not show what some of their salespeople are implying. And what that is they're going to bring to some of your clients' homes, and they're going to have a jar with these two rods sticking in it. One's aluminum and one is steel, carbon steel. And what happens is when they put the rod in their water, the water stays clean. When they put the rod in tap water, the water becomes violently ugly brown. And what that actually did was the two rods allowed the electrical current to pass from mineral to mineral, and it starts dissolving and creating rust. That's why you get the brown. But what most of their salespeople imply is that this brown shows how dirty your water is. It doesn't do it at all. If you ever have one of those salespeople do this to you, let me ask you this. Have you ever put salt on your food? Well, of course you have. Salt is a mineral. If they ever do this test in front of you or in front of one of your clients and they have their good water, just tell your client to put a little salt in it, just a touch of salt. And immediately that water will turn brown. Why? Because salt is a mineral and electricity can float through minerals. Their water is demineralized. Now, in my opinion, I would not want water that's demineralized. There's a doctor in Toronto, he even has a website, his name's Dr. Ronan. And he speaks very, very negatively about demineralized water, especially distilled water. If you go to his website, you're going to see that he'll say that distilled water is probably the most negative thing that a person could drink on an ongoing basis. And the reason is because the water is so flat and dead that it becomes very aggressive. And he has done over 3,000 mineral tests from hair, urine, and blood, testing for minerals, and found that people that drank distilled water, demineralized water, had a tremendous amount of minerals coming out in their urine. The water was so aggressive that it pulled the minerals right out of their system. And he found that they were very mineral deficient. And he believes that it promotes cardiovascular problems. Now, he even found that people that were drinking a lot of distilled water and eventually went back to mineralized water were mineral deficient for many, many years after. He found that reverse osmosis water was not as bad, but he felt that if you're going to drink RO water, in his opinion, you should be heavily supplementing with minerals, because demineralized water is aggressive and it'll want back what it is and it'll pull it right out of your body. So, I mean, if you speak to the people that sell those products, they will tell you that you really cannot absorb the minerals out of water anyways. Now, I don't know how that makes sense. I mean, we can absorb minerals out of the water that we get in our food. We can absorb minerals out of milk. You know, calcium, there's calcium in many areas of water, manganese. We can absorb minerals out of all of these other products that are water-based or are water. And for some reason, these companies, as a form of their selling process, say that you cannot absorb minerals out of the water that you drink. That just does not make sense to me at all. God made the water with minerals. And we need minerals to survive in our food and in our water. And I'm going to show you a filter that is truly terrific. If you're looking to protect your family, this is where you need to be. And today, more than any time in the history of the world, with all the millions of chemicals, I mean, maybe I should tell you just a couple of more things about chemicals. Do you know that you can literally go down to the bay in any city or large city, and they could test the water and literally find hormones from birth control pills, from cholesterol pills, from heart pills? Because, of course, everybody goes to the washroom and it all goes back into the lake. So when they bring that water into your city, all they do is add chlorine and ammonia. And then you drink it. You drink it with any chemical. You know, I grew up in a small city called Sarnia, Ontario. In Sarnia, they call it Chemical Valley because of all the oil refineries. When I started selling water back in 1990, they had an article that stated that there was a major spill from these refineries once every 3 days, legally reported. And where the city down the river of St. Clair River would have to shut the city's water system down in Wallaceburg. And sometimes as far as Chatham. Think of it. That water, where does it pass? It goes to Chatham. It goes to Windsor. It goes past Detroit. But there's not just the oil refineries of Sarnia. There's the Lambton Generating Station there that generates electricity with coal, and all the U.S. Plants and oil refineries and car manufacturers. They all use water. They need water to manufacture. This all goes back into our rivers and our lakes, and we drink it. And I want to show you how you can dramatically improve the quality of your water. You know, I get a lot of questions too about people saying, you know, well, I drink bottled water. How does bottled water fare? Well, how do you know? I mean, I read an article where they had analyzed something like 40 different bottled water companies, and they found some water that was very good. They found some water that had bacteria in it. They found some water that it literally had pieces of dirt and pieces of glass in it. They found some water that had bacteria growing in it, and some water that had parasites in it, and some water that was acceptable, some water that was good. I mean, you can find the full spectrum in bottled water. That's the thing. You really don't know. You really don't know what you're buying, when you're buying, because it's made in a factory. And is it their goal, as a bottled water company, is it their goal to give you phenomenal water? Well, I would assume they want you to have good water. But I would assume, too, that the water is designed for millions and billions of gallons to be produced, so it's acceptable water. And the standards here in Canada and the U.S. are this, that the water that comes in bottled water has to be as good as water that comes out of the tap water. So in my opinion, they really don't have any rules. So if a person now is drinking bottled water, and they're going through 4 to 6 bottles a month, spending between $300 and $400 a year. How heavy is it to carry one of those bottles home if they're not already being delivered? If it's being delivered, now the cost of the water is probably up to $7 or $8 a bottle. Most people carry it at home themselves. I've seen some strong guys that have actually hurt themselves. Not because they couldn't lift the 5-gallon bottle, but because when they were walking, they accidentally didn't put their foot properly down. There might have been a little hole in the sidewalk, or they're going up a set of stairs. They misjudged their footing. They twist their back. They hurt themselves. Bottled water is a hassle to bring home. And do you use your bottled water for cooking? 99% of the people that I talk to don't. Tell me something. We work with all the different communities. One of the communities we work with a lot is the Filipino community. Now, in the Filipino community, one of the things that they eat once to 3 times a day is rice. And it's not just that community. The Indian community eats a lot of rice. There's the Chinese community. But the if you're eating rice 2 to 3 times a day, or my background's Italian, we usually eat pasta 1 to 2 times a day. The rice is 50% water. And if you're going to the tap and you're filling that pot up with 1 cup of water, 1 cup of rice, well, that rice is full of every chemical that that tap just delivered. And you still have to clean it up with your body. You still have to, your body still has to process all those chemicals that are in every piece of that rice or pasta or the soup that you made. You know, I get a lot of clients, they say to me, "But Jerry, I boil my water." Well, why do you boil water? Well, I know why they boil water, because back home in their country, wherever country they've immigrated from, that was their way of killing bacteria, which it does. It does kill bacteria by boiling the water for 20 minutes. But does it kill chemicals? No. If I got a pot of boiling water and I took a teaspoon of gasoline and I dumped it in the pot of water and I boiled for 5 hours and I tested, there's still gasoline in that water. If I boiled olive oil, a teaspoon of olive oil for a couple hours, and I still look at it, you still see olive oil. Chemicals have a different metabolism. Chemicals are different. See, bacteria, some of you that might listen to this tape might have heard Walkerton 4 years ago. You might recall that in Walkerton, I believe it was 8 people that died from E. coli bacteria, where the chlorinators were not operating properly for the water for the town. Bacteria, E. coli got into the town water. And this has happened in many different places across Canada. Not to the severity, but it's happened all the time. And 8 people died. Over 1,000 people got sick. Little town, very little town. Now, the thing about the water that you're drinking is if you were boiling and you were boiling at that time, yes, it would kill the bacteria. But see, bacteria can kill you or make you sick. But what do chemicals do? Chemicals, depending on the person's body, what promotes cancers? Everybody's body is different. Have you ever heard of a person that's allergic to penicillin? Well, I've had many friends that are allergic to penicillin, and look at that. Same chemical. I will take penicillin, and if I have an infection, I heal. Another individual takes penicillin, and it can really hurt them or kill them. What about bee stings? What about peanuts? I mean, my brother, Rick, when he was alive, he had a very severe allergy. He could not eat shellfish, crab or lobster or shrimps or anything like that. The allergy from the chemical inside those fish, from those shellfish, would affect him so badly that he needed to be rushed to the hospital immediately, and or he would die. My brother Stephen has the same reaction to freshwater fish. I can eat both and have a good time. Doesn't affect me at all. So all of us bodies process chemicals differently that come from food or water. So this is why it is so important that people not only drink good water, they cook with good water. Because health is wealth. I'll tell you, you ask anyone that is sick, and I'll tell you one thing, if you become the lover of water that I am, you will feel so much better, because you are, water is designed to flush toxins. The faster you can intake and eliminate, the more toxins you flush out of your body. And when you look at the Carrico filter, you look at a unit that is solid stainless steel. Now, this solid stainless steel unit when you're showing your client, you're going to pick it up and you're going to pass it to them and let them feel the weight of this unit, because this is the unit that they're going to have for the rest of their life. They're never going to have to replace this unit for a lifetime. I mean, if they're living in an apartment or a home that they don't own, they can attach it to the countertop hookup, so it hooks up right to their faucet. If they own their own condo or home or townhome, it can be hooked under the counter and have its own little tap where you press a little button and the filtered water comes out. So just in the design alone, it's designed to last a lifetime. And then when you unscrew it and you take out the cartridge that is inside, now, first of all, you're going to show them and have them feel the top of that cartridge and have them squeeze it. See, right now, as I'm squeezing the top of this cartridge, it is very hard. And when it's hard, they're going to wonder, what is this material? It is a ceramic, a seashell ceramic made by Royal Doulton. And water first has to push through this ceramic part before it can go into the filter. Look at this. You push the water through. It literally looks like you're pushing water through cement. At this point here, it filters down to what they call 0.3 of a micron. Now, let me give you a little explanation what that means to us. The E. coli bacteria that was in Walkerton that killed the people was 2 microns long and 0.5 microns thick. So if that bacteria was being pushed against this ceramic, it would not even be able to get through. The pores are too small. You know another thing that's in the water 27% of the time? I saw a program on TV with Stone Phillips. It's called Dateline. And it was talking about the problem across North America on cryptosporidium. Do you know what crypto is? Crypto's a parasite that comes from the stomach of a cow. And when there's high rains and the cow manure from the fields washes into the creek and into the river and into the lake, and when they suck it in, chlorine and chemicals have no effect on it because it's not bacteria, it's a parasite. It has a shell. But when you drink it, it opens up in your body from the heat and the warmth. And it attacks your immune system. And it's like a billion worms attacking your digestive system and your immune system. And if you're a healthy person, you get sick like a flu with a mild fever and a diarrhea, and you're sick for 3 days to 2 weeks to 3 weeks, depending on how strong you are. In most cases, in many cases, if you have a problem like cancer or you have HIV, you have AIDS, you have an immune system problem, many of those people or most usually die, because they cannot handle it. In Milwaukee, when Stateline had the program, 100,000 people got sick. I believe it was 200 or 300 died. And then they showed all through the major cities across the U.S. and how cities that get their water, especially from surface water, were most affected. And chlorine has no effect on it. And actually, in Kitchener, Ontario, in 1991, Kitchener was hit with crypto. Collingwood, a few years back, was hit with crypto. Out west, in Edmonton, in Saskatchewan, and out east, last year, I believe it was New Brunswick. Whenever you hear a boiled water advisory, usually it's because of crypto or bacteria. Well, our crypto is about 5 microns big, and it cannot get through. So our filter will not allow microorganisms such as crypto and bacteria, E. coli, salmonella, coliform bacteria, and all the rust and the dirt that's in the pipes. You wouldn't believe your ceramic, how dirty it gets from just the pipes from underground. So already at this point here, wow, your water is significantly better because you've removed every fine last piece of dirt out of the water. You've removed every amount. It blocked all bacteria, microorganisms of that type. Cryptosporidium cannot get through. Your water is already significantly cleaner. And then it comes through, you know, right here in your book. If you just look at your prospectus here, it reads here that the pores stop all suspended matter down to 0.3 microns, which include harmful bacteria, asbestos, cryptosporidium, E. coli, salmonella cysts, and much more. Then as the water comes through, it goes through the stages where through the top part, the inner core is specifically created to remove heavy metals such as lead and mercury and cadmium and many more other heavy metals. Then, if you took apart the carbon block, as it says here, it'll state that it gives you a carbon block that is equivalent in approximately 300,000 square yards of media. To remove a host of chemicals that are THMs, we talked about that, chlorine and chloroform, sulfides, pesticides, insecticides. So when the water comes through the filter, it's addressing the four major things that I believe are the most important. Number one is, let's get every bit of dirt out of it. Let's make it very clean water so our body can really absorb it the best that it can. Let's take out all the bacteria and the microorganisms to make it very, very clean. Let's remove the pesticides, the insecticides, the chemicals, the heavy metals, and the heavy metals, which would be four. That's why this filter is terrific. I mean, we back it up with proof. If you look into our manuals, you're going to see that they have all the laboratory reports. And I got to tell you, when this goes into your home, and you install it in your home, I'll guarantee you this. We'll thank you for the sale. We'll thank you for the fact that you trusted in us. But they will thank you for the rest of your life that they are drinking such great water. Because, you know, I get this all the time. I went personally myself from a guy that drank very, very little water to a person that drinks about 1 liter to 2.5 liters a day. I wouldn't even be able to understand life without drinking that much water. And your clients will thank you, and they'll notice it, and they won't want to drink water anywhere else. They'll start bringing it to work. They'll start bringing it to school. They'll start taking it with them when they go on holidays, because they literally can bring their filter with them on holidays with a countertop hookup. They'll want one for their trailer. They'll want one for their motorhome. They'll want one for their boat. We've got truck drivers that take them with them when they're on the road as a truck driver. We have people taking them to Europe or back home to the Philippines when they go home on a trip back home. We have people taking them everywhere because once they get used to great water, they really have a respect and appreciate it. And I'm sure you will too. So I think that when you're showing the water, and if you can show them the reasons why this is so effective, they're going to want your filter. And one of the things that really makes it great, you know, in the beginning stages, the filter, they're going to spend a good dollar for it. And usually the average filter at today's prices will cost a person for a stainless steel model approximately around the $50 a month mark for a couple of years. Then after that, they're only replacing cartridges, and to maintain the filter, if they're buying a cartridge every year and a half to 2 years, it'll probably cost them about $100 a year to maintain. So the water becomes very inexpensive, and they do everything with it. They wash their food, they cook with it, they drink with it. The only thing they don't do with it is they don't wash their dishes in it. The dishes still come from the tap, but everything else comes from the filter. And if you put your heart into the presentation and you show the people why this is such a terrific filter, especially because you have one at home, you'll be able to talk with conviction. and you will be able to show them how they can live a healthier and better life. So that's health product number one, is the water filter. Now,